The reason why the personal trainer is doing that is this one sole reason: marketing. I'm trying to show off to my followers I'm doing a personal training session.
Did you actually have a client?
Yeah. would be better is if you, Otto, if you were doing a squat right now, for example, I would say, right, Otto, we're going to do a squat. I'm going to video this so as I can give you some technical feedback. Yes. And we video it. And you're doing the squat. And I'm saying, right, Otto, as you're doing the squat, push down harder through your heels. Can you see how that's keeping your knees out? Can you see how that's keeping your chest up? Whatever the coaching cue might be. And you'll be like, yes, 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 whatever it is. We'll re-rack the bar. Then we get the video, the same video, and we watch it together. Then like, Otto, see when you're on that point of the clean, that point of the deadlift, do this. Can you see how that deadlift's different than that deadlift? Because that's actually coaching.
More educational for the client.
Yes, gotcha. And that's teaching the client without them realizing, just a little bit of self-awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without them realizing, they'll be in the gym the next day and they'll see somebody else doing a deadlift and they'll see them doing what they were doing wrong the day before. But now what we have, I'm getting really passionate about this. Now what I now have on my phone,
yeah.
I have an example of me coaching. I don't have a marketing video. I have an example of me coaching, which is a much more powerful marketing video.
Of course.
And I can do a lot more things with that.
I got you.
You're listening to the Ricky Long Podcast, where international fitness entrepreneur Ricky Long answers your questions and interviews fitness leaders on training, nutrition, and mindset. Ricky is a fitness industry expert, having been helping people achieve their fitness goals since 2002. We talk everything fitness, business, and group exercise to help you on your fitness journey.
Welcome to this episode of the Ricky Long Podcast. This is a bit of a bonus podcast listen. Last week I was on Otto's podcast and it was a really, really good chat. It was quite interview based. So he was asking me questions and I was answering on like maybe my style of podcast, which can be quite conversational based. But I think it's good value for you to listen to. It's quite short. It's only 45 minutes long. What do we talk about? We talk about Les Mills. We talk about fat loss. We talk about calorie deficits, mindset. We talk about supplements, talk about training for Ironman, training in the gym, coaching concepts as a personal trainer. So there's a little bit in there for everyone. I like the direction that Otto brought the podcast and I really, really enjoyed the style. So like I said, I think it'll be good value for you or anyone who normally listens to the Ricky Long podcast to listen to. Quick reminder about the Supporters Club. You can join the Supporters Club for as little as £4 a month. You can pay £15 a month. You can pay £30 a month. You can pay basically whatever you like. And what allows us to do is keep the podcast going, invest in the podcast, both in terms of guests that we can bring on, the content and editing side of the podcast, and many more things. So you see the links for that in the bio. This is being recorded. I'm recording this right now on Thursday, the 15th of July. On Sunday, the 18th of July, I'm doing Iron Distance, Ironbourne Triathlon in Eastbourne, very, very south of England. It's all for Mental Health UK. We've already raised over £500. I'm going to put the link in the bio for this. Chances are, if you listen to this, you follow me on social media anyway. You'll already know all about that. If you can donate, even if it's only a couple of quid, that'd be great. You can keep it anonymous. You can put your name there. You can put anonymous there. You can put the amount there. So you could write Ricky Long, but not an amount. You know, my name is Ricky Long. I sponsored this guy did for Mental Health UK, but you're not saying how much. So even a couple of quid will make a lot of difference. I'd love to raise £1,000. Deadline's coming up to this Sunday. So if you do have a couple of quid, bung it in there. What else? Project Me, that's going to launch in September. Keep an eye out for that. Over to the podcast with me and Otto.
Hello, hello.
Yes, we're here.
It's looking good. Yeah, cool. Well, Ricky, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, mate. I'm so excited to be on.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming in. So, listen, I met you at some quarterly training and some advanced training module for Les Mills. So you're the fitness motivation for me and for many young trainers. So I was at the very beginning, a couple of years ago, you were already advanced and I keep following you. So you're an interesting person to talk to. Could you tell us something about your background?
I mean, that's really, really nice to hear. I think for any fitness professional, that's what they should be aspiring to do, just help and inspire other people. And sometimes it's not maybe the people who you're working directly with. That's absolutely fantastic. A bit about my background. So this is my thing when I introduced myself. So like the interesting fact,
yes.
I've represented my country, Northern Ireland, at international level in two different sports on the same day. So when I was 15, I played for Northern Ireland schoolboys I can never remember this. I think I played for the schoolboys in the evening. And in the afternoon, I was swimming for Northern Ireland in the UK championships. So that's my claim to fame.
Interesting. Is there anything to add? How you became a trainer? How you turned that sort of like being an athlete into being an educator and a coach?
Do you know what? The long story short is I was the personal trainer who hated group fitness. So group fitness wasn't for me. It wasn't what men did. It wasn't what PTs did. I didn't want anything to do with it. I was forced to go and do my body pump module. I walked out after the masterclass. So, you know, when you're told to go and get changed, I went home. I grew up a little bit. I matured a little bit. I started teaching spin classes to begin with. Loved them. Learned a lot about from a business point of view, I learned that how to communicate with people a lot better. And I also learned it was one of the best forms of marketing because you're just put in front of so many people. And then along came another Les Mills modules, and there was loads of Les Mills on the timetable, and started doing body pumps. So we're going back to 2011 here. Within 18 months of doing that module, you know, I was training and teaching for Les Mills. And what Les Mills do really exceptionally well is their whole education product, and they upskill all their trainers, presenters, and put them through a series of qualifications. And it's not just one qualification.
Yeah.
So I think I've done four just mm-hmm. because I've been on the team that long now. So there'll be other trainers might listen to this and be like, oh shit, I've only done one. Give yourself another 8-9 years.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I've always wanted, and from the first module I did as an instructor, I sat there and watched the module trainer, and I was like, I want to do that. And it wasn't so much I'm now like infatuated with Les Mills. That was just kind of the vehicle. I just want to be up in front of people and teaching people and telling people how to teach, with fitness professionals, because that's really fun. I've always been into like behavior and how, you know, right, you're telling that person to take something nice and easy in the gym, how to squat, and their knees aren't going out. You're telling them to push their knees out and they're not listening to you. And you're like, oh, okay, there's a reason their knees aren't going out. There's a reason that they can't do it, or there's maybe they can do it and they're choosing not to do it. And you can relate this to diet. You can relate this to, you know, sleep and all that. And I've always unknowingly kind of been into that and enjoy just exploring that.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, thanks for sharing that. So now, different topic. I see you preparing for a triathlon. So now the fundamental question is, what keeps you motivated?
What keeps me more? Do you know, honestly, a lot of people have been asking this related question to this, and what keeps me motivated right now around the triathlon is the enjoyment of it. And that is true. So when I first signed up to do Ironman 2 years ago, I was doing it from the point of view, Otto, that it was going to be something I just turned up and did. So I'll do my training, I'll do a little bit of sports specific and turn up and do. And I fully believe I could have done it that way. You know, I did a marathon with a month's notice. I did a 10K swim with like 3 weeks notice, that sort of thing. I can just, really test the mindset. Because of lockdown, I actually started doing specific triathlon training, and I just really, really enjoy it. And that is the absolute truth. You know, there's no real higher purpose other than I've enjoyed the training. So I know come race day, in inverted commas, that there's going to be dark points of the day because like it's 180 miles, you know, the big ass distance, but I'm going to enjoy the whole day. I'm going to enjoy the drive down. I'm going to enjoy the night before, the day of, the evening. So yeah, that's what motivates. I think if you're enjoying something and it just becomes part of what you do,
yeah,
it's you don't need the motivation. You almost become your own motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you move from Belfast to to Scotland. Where are you based there?
So I'm in a place called Gourock, which on the map is about 40 minutes west of Glasgow.
Okay.
So Glasgow's our nearest city.
Yeah. You have a bit of mountains there. You have a seaside. So really great for what you do.
That's it. You know, we live officially, if you know, you've obviously seen it on the social, the water you see out there, officially that's the River Clyde, but we're so far west of Glasgow. It's a big river. Like it's about 5 or 6 miles across.
Wow.
You know, so it's the sea.
It looks like sea.
Yeah. And when you're swimming in it, it's like, say, you know, you've got proper sea currents rather than river currents. Yeah. And then on the other side of it, it's beautiful, it's picturesque. I'm being really like such a tourist here. I just call it like the start of the mountains, you know, like all the west and the highlands. I call it the start of the highlands across the water. It's very, very loosely the start of the highlands. I think they started about another 50, 60 miles up, but I just started the highlands.
Yeah. In fairness, I drove there once. I think it could have been 12, 13 years ago. And I drove from Dublin and went through the ferry, and we went through all the Glasgow and north and all the coast, and then kind of back to the Edinburgh and across back 2,000 kilometers. I totally loved it. Absolutely beautiful country.
Yeah, now, beautiful part of the world up there. It doesn't matter what the weather's doing. It's always breathtaking.
Exactly. Now, what I noticed about north was there was less people than sheep. I like that. So now something more training specific. So what do you do, Ricky, for a particular training? Well, you know, on one hand we have the mileage that you have to run, cycle, swim, but is there a particular methodology for, let's say, power training, maximum strength training that you find very beneficial?
I'm just in danger here of answering this like real, like I could go off on one for about 10, 15 minutes.
Go ahead.
Or just being a little bit too generic. So the first thing with triathlon is there's three different sports. I'm gifted at swimming. Most triathletes need to learn how to swim. So I just needed to learn how to be average on the bike and average at running. There's not a lot of science involved in that to begin with. It's basically get a bike and start cycling, see where you're at, and you know, learn how to run for 20 minutes, then 40 minutes and 60 minutes or whatever way you want to do it. And in what I've just said there, Otto, is another transition you have to make in your head. You don't run in distance anymore, or swim in distance, or bike in distance. It's in time.
Okay.
Which is a complete change of everything I've ever done in my life, because you know I'm programming clients, go and run a 5k, go and run a 2k, whatever it might be, or row 10k. Now it's distance, and the reason for that is just all about heart rate training zones, which I've really enjoyed. I'd learned it all before, but I've never applied it to my own. And funny, I was chatting to a client last night, he's also training for a marathon, and I was digging out the marathon I did in 2019, and I was looking at my heart rate for that. And on Sunday there, I was out for 3.5 hours, and I just compared my heart rate scores. And they're like, in 2019, my heart rate was like 170, 180, which is the back end of zone 4, where I'm really running out of steam. Yeah. And on Sunday there, my heart rate was right down, zone 2, just cruising the whole time.
And time-wise?
Speed was the same. Yeah, it was different distances.
Yes.
The marathon I did itself was 4.5 hours, obviously 42 kilometers. I think on Sunday there, it was 32 kilometers. Like I said, I was just going for the distance. So that in a mindset hack has been something I've really, really enjoyed. That makes you enjoy your training because you're not chasing the Strava distance anymore. Because when you go on Strava, this has happened the last two weekends.
Yeah.
I did 32 kilometers the weekend. Somebody else I know did 34 kilometers.
You were pissed off.
On Saturday... On the bike, I did 125 kilometers, and somebody else I know did 175 kilometers. The same thing happened the week
before. They're pissing you off.
That's it.
How dare they?
And my mate, just for the crack on Friday, he went and did an 85-kilometer run, basically a double marathon.
Wow.
So
he must be a fit friend.
Yeah, you could get really, really demotivated by if you're chasing those numbers. And then back to the second part of your question, just about strength and power. So what you need is kind of what I call a base. So you'll need a strength and a power base. So you'll need to be competent in the gym on a squat, on a deadlift, on a lunge. I don't think anyone really takes a lunge seriously, especially fellas, a lunge seriously mm-hmm. enough in the gym. It's such a powerful exercise.
You can get so much more range.
Range, any sport you do, it's specific to every sport. Mm-hmm. And not lifting. Yeah, there's some good numbers in there, I suppose. And they were big at the start, say for the first 3 months. And now all I do, I'll go into the gym maybe 20 minutes and I'll do three sets of five. And I'll just make sure that strength is still there. So you're still getting the right balance of what your fast twitch and what your slow twitch muscle fibers are doing. You don't want to spend too much time doing strength training because it can over fatigue you for, the cardio at the weekend. Being said, in months 4 and 5, I was having a big ass leg session on Friday and then my 5-6 hour cycle on Saturday because mm-hmm. it was deliberately pre-fatiguing my leg so I can get more out of my cycle.
Testing it out?
Yeah. And that's it's a good strategy to do. You wouldn't want to do that if you were racing, but I'm a guy trying to finish.
That's interesting. What about plyometric training for, let's say, improving efficiency for endurance running? I read the books about, the periodization training for sport. I'm not sure if it was you recommending it or somebody else, but I got the book and I trained a couple of athletes and they were shaving off some significant times.
Yeah.
So plyometrics and strength training definitely for athletes. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, so some athletes or trainers or whoever is interested to learn all these things have that sort of firsthand experience from someone like you who's walking the talk, swimming, cycling, and running the talk.
Is that, I think one of the books I have, I can't remember the guy's surname. I was looking at him right there. You saw Mike, but the book's not there. It's Peter Artier or something. And it's about force production. So the analogy is in running. So if you can do true plyometric training. So most people in the gym don't do true plyometric training. They'll do power training and call it plyometric. So you might
have
a model.
What do you mean by that?
So a plyometric is an immediate response, whereas power is a load and then an explode. Pardon me for rhyming there and sounding like a Les Mills trainer. Whereas a plyometric response is instant. So running is plyometrics. A squat jump is technically power training. If you're going all the way down the squat. So the analogy is, or the theory is, if you can get good at true plyometric training, it means when you run, for example, you're getting more power through your Achilles, your calf, your knee, and your hip. So instead of your stride being 90 centimeters, you're now 90 centimeters. Yeah, 90 centimeters. You're now striding 95 centimeters for no extra effort whatsoever. So that means you'll be traveling faster, you'll be traveling further. In answer to the first part of the question, I did a lot of that stuff at the start. One of the things we were doing, I'm trying to remember the order of this. Perhaps you can help me. What did we start off with? We did concentric deadlifts, right? So when the bar was at the top, you dropped it. So there was no eccentric phase. Mm-hmm. And we were doing them really fast. And then we supersetted that straight away with a drop off a step and an instant box jump.
Yes.
And that was super sad. And I noticed, to be fair, I noticed right at the start, my running, I don't know too much off the top of my head how the times were, but running just felt better because I had, my plyometric muscles, as if they're a thing, switched off.
Yes.
It's a powerful thing. In my next cycle of training, for whatever my next event is, it's stuff I do need to include more of. Mm-hmm. I just experiment with and learn about.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah. So, Ricky, is there something you see in, you know, class participants and clients do wrong, mostly wrong, sort of like a generalized, what you see the most, like, you know, something which a lot of people don't get? Like, personally, I see a lot of planks are not performed well, the lower back is collapsed, the pelvic floor is rotated, so lower back is arched and so on. So, you know, I see that you see something that's very common, people do very wrong with the training.
Yeah, I think with experience leads, you know, for the likes of yourself and me, is when you have that new person come into a studio, come into the gym, and you see them walking towards any bit of kit, you're already expecting something to go wrong. And not from a laugh, I'm going to laugh at you, I'm going to get my phone out and take pictures and put it on Instagram. It's from a care point of view. So the typical ones I always talk about, like in body pump, when you see a guy lunge for the first time, like, you know, a lot of things are going to go wrong. Because that's probably the first time a guy has ever lunged in a body pump class. Because men don't lunge ever, unless they do some sort of strength training, strength and conditioning, like a structured program. They squat, they leg press, they leg extend. You know, the classic one for women when they're in the gym is the knees are coming in the squat. So you learn the expected things. I think the biggest thing that goes wrong for people in the gym is just a complete lack of self-awareness. And that's not a dig, because why would somebody who is only training 2 to 3 times a week, trying to keep fit, have a massive amount of self-awareness? Mirrors are kind of a necessary evil in a gym, because they can give you awareness.
Which one?
Mirrors. Mirrors.
A mirror, sorry, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, mirrors.
They're a necessary evil. They can be really, really good to check someone's technique, but they can also put a lot of people off.
Yes.
Video cameras are the same thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I see a lot of PTs do this. And Otto, if you've ever done this, I've done this as well. So, right, you'll be in the middle of a session and you take your phone out of your pocket and you video your client, and then you put it on your Instagram story, you put it on social media. Right?
I rarely do that.
Yeah, but you've seen it done.
Yes, I've seen it done. Yeah.
And it's the reason why the personal trainer is doing that is this one sole reason: marketing. I'm trying to show off to my followers I'm doing a personal training session.
Do you actually have a client?
Yeah. would be better is if you, Otto, if you were doing a squat right now, for example, I would say, right, Otto, we're going to do a squat. I'm going to video this so as I can give you some technical feedback. Yes. And we video it and you're doing the squat. And I'm saying, right, Otto, as you're doing the squat, push down harder through your heels. Can you see how that's keeping your knees out? Can you see how that's keeping your chest up? Whatever the coaching cue might be. And you'll be like, yes, whatever it is. We'll re-rack the bar. Then we get the video, the same video, and we watch it together. Then I'm like, Otto, see when you're on that point of the clean, that point of the deadlift, do this. Can you see how that deadlift's different than that deadlift? Because that's actually coaching.
More educational for the client.
Yes, gotcha. And that's teaching the client without them realizing, just a little bit of self-awareness.
Yeah.
Because without them realizing, they'll be in the gym the next day and they'll see somebody else doing a deadlift and they'll see them doing what they were doing wrong the day before. But now what we have, I'm getting really passionate about this, now what I now have on my phone,
yeah.
I have an example of me coaching. I don't have a marketing video, I have an example of me coaching, which is a much more powerful marketing video.
Of course.
And I can do a lot more things with that.
I get you. Yeah.
Clients happy. I've got, you know, better marketing content out there that my followers aren't seeing me counting reps 4, 5, 6, 7. They're now seeing me coaching, which is what I'm being paid for.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course, I'm the same with counting. I'm like, look, you count your reps, I'll tell you, then you add 4 more, okay? Because personally, I'm such a coach that I just get totally, I drift away immediately. I'm counting somebody's reps and I just drift away. It just bores me to death. Absolutely hate it. Seriously, for me, it's not for me. It's not something I enjoy. I say, look, you count your reps, you're going to do 14 reps and I'm going to coach them through. You know, instead.
Exactly.
Because it was a point of me counting them reps when they run, counting it as well. I prefer to give them some value of how to perform even better and maybe push them a little bit hard, you know, voice wise, to push them to just drive a little harder at the end, you know?
Yeah. So how do you feel about, it's kind of been credited to Arnold Schwarzenegger's theory, and that the last 10% of your set cheat?
On some exercises, okay. I would do it with some younger, fitter people in the gym environment where that extra cheat like biceps curls can benefit. But most of my clients are, you know, 50 plus. So I don't think so. That's the group, you know, 60s and so on. That's the group of my clients. That's kind of clients I have. It's mostly older people, some younger, but it's mostly the majority. So in that aspect, you know, pushing too hard, it's not what they want. You know, they're not athletes. They just want to stay healthy, fit, flexible. So, you know, but I know when I have younger people and we're pushing it, a little bit of cheating, I think it's okay. And I coach them. Mm-hmm. I explain that, you know, cheating certain way in certain exercises is okay, but it's can be more dangerous in the other situations. Yeah. So, you know, biceps curls, easy to cheat. But if you cheat all the time, you're basically creating bad habits constantly.
Yeah, I get what you say. We've different client bases, you know, if you're saying yours are, because a lot of my client base would be existing fitness professionals. So I can kind of freely say last 10, 20% of your set, get a little swing in there, get a little bit of a cheat, you know, because they've got the base, the foundations to build it up. But it's just, it's another way I used to break up sets. So say you've got a set of 15, I've got, you know, my first five reps, I'm going to coach them to do this. The middle five reps, I'm going to coach them to do this. The last five reps, I'm going to coach them to do this. By the end of it, I don't actually know if they've done 15 reps. I just know they've hit that failure that they need to hit for that set.
That's all that matters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, I'm getting some good information from you. So next one, I want to talk about something big, which is weight loss, you know, so nutrition-wise, training-wise. So especially from point of view of nutrition, what do you think it is the main thing that people underestimate? And it's simple. Some tips and tricks you have from the experience.
Systems over willpower. Every time, because everybody knows if you want to lose weight, you get a calorie deficit. And that's the short, easy, blunt answer. The reality is for a lot of people is the ways they know how to get a calorie deficit don't suit their lifestyle, isn't sustainable, isn't enjoyable. So you need to find systems that work. And what works for me might not work for you and vice versa. And that's not taking into consideration lifestyle variables, variables which you can control, variables which you can't control. So there's a whole lot of things in it. I always, when I'm working with my clients, the one question I have for them is, well, it's three questions. They don't know this, but it's one question. I look after their training, their nutrition, and their mindset. And my question is, what's the one thing you need to do today that serves your training, that serves your nutrition, and serves your mindset? And as long as you always just do that one next thing, you'll always be working towards your goal. It might only be 10 calories of a deficit today, or one extra rep today, or an extra 10 minutes sleep. But the compound effect of all that is going to add up. So to come back to what I said at the start, it's systems over willpower. You need to find that system that works for you. If I think, and I kind of do think this, that intermittent fasting is one of the best systems to help lose body fat, brilliant. But if you're my client and you tell me you do shift work, like you're a cop or something, intermittent fasting is not going to work for your lifestyle. So there's no point in me even presenting that as a system. Yeah. There's so many different ways people need to understand appreciate their own uniqueness and their own variables, what they can and can't control. Do you tell me you're a shift worker? You can't control that. Your job means you need to work a shift pattern, days and nights. Maybe you can control when you eat at work, when you eat when you're off work, what your sleep pattern is to catch up in your sleep pattern. These are things we can control. People can always control what to shop. Yeah, doesn't
if they have a list of what to buy.
Yeah, list. You do it online. I'm a massive. So I was brought up like this. My mum made dinner for the house. She didn't make me something, and then she had something. My granddad had something else.
Everybody ate the same. Meal.
Yeah, everybody at the same. So that teaches you to not be fussy for a start.
Yeah.
And my message here is, it's a long way of me saying, if you are trying to eat healthy, you need the people around you trying to eat healthy. So everybody should be in the house buying into what you're doing. And if that means they all eat the same as you at the same time, great, that's probably the best. But if it means you need to take yourself out of that environment, so you're not eating at 7 o'clock with everybody else, you're eating at 6:30 before everybody else eats, go and do it. Because these are the systems you need to put in place to get whatever goal you want to. So we're all striving weight loss, calorie deficit. What is the one system that is going to serve you 60, 70, 80% of the time?
Okay, good one, good one. So another one related to health and maybe partially to muscle building or weight loss. Are there supplements you recommend, nutritional supplements or like sort of training supplements that you believe in? And, you know, because there's a lot, I ask my previous guests as well what they think. So what is yours and why? You know, what do you take and why do you take it? What's the logic behind it?
The worst person to give supplement advice is a personal trainer, because personal trainers take all the supplements or have taken all the supplements at some point for about 3 weeks, not noticed any difference, and then said the supplement's good or bad. Yeah, it's good if it tastes good. It's bad if you don't get absolutely jacked. Isn't that right? Isn't that true?
Yeah, yes. Many supplements I don't feel at all, so I stop using them. I don't feel any performance increase, muscle growth increase. Yeah. It's just marketing. They sold me something which... Yeah. Could be placebo, could be nocebo.
I think the general population, assuming you're having a good diet, whatever good diet means, it's good for that person. Somebody training 3-4 times a week, they don't need to worry about supplements. And that's the truth. The best supplements that person can get is sleeping enough and water. They're probably the two best supplements they can get. I am a fan. I know these get a bad rep. Multivitamins. I am a fan of them. I know it's the shotgun approach, and we can do tests to find out what vitamins we are actually deficient in. Most people aren't going to do that test. And even if you overdose in multivitamins, it's not a bad thing. You're just going to, you know, waste it out of your system in urine. And it's not an expensive supplement either. For the likes of personal trainers, group fitness instructors, I would say, definitely have a conversation. By the way, like, I'm not qualified in any of this, so do have a good conversation with somebody who is qualified, like a supplement shop owner, a dietitian, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I ask you personally, you know, so we're not actually giving any nutrition advice. Right. So, you know,
if you want to ask exactly what I take,
you know, what you take, what you take, yeah.
My training volume now, like, we're up to 16, 20 hours a week. You know, it's a lot. So I take, let me start at the beginning of the day. Multivitamin, vitamin D. Vitamin D tablet is also a really, really good little like pre-workout hack as well. Yeah. I see just 20 minutes before training.
Why is that so?
It might be a placebo effect, but I just feel, because sometimes caffeine, like you can just be in too much caffeine, where vitamin D just like kind of perks you up.
Oh, really? I never noticed that, yeah.
It's good. I found it out by accident. You know, I wasn't told it or anything. So morning is multivitamin, vitamin D, and electrolytes. And they're all just from my protein.
Because you're sweating out a lot. You do a lot of cardio. So it's your specific type of training as well.
Yeah. Then I'll have a shake. I'm actually having a second one today. It's BCAAs, and in the morning there'll also be creatine in there as well. Again, BCAAs, amino acids, get a bad reputation. Does the general public need to take that? Probably not. A lot of the time I will train early in the morning before I have, you know, a substantial meal. So BCAAs are just a good way of staying energized and keeping your muscles from breaking down.
It can even give you a little bit of a brain focus as well, like a little bit of boost from point of view of focus. Yeah.
I wasn't going to go down that road, but I've two BCAAs, so and I'll alternate which one I'm taking. So this is caffeine free, and I have one with caffeine. So it just depends, but that's where a lot of the brain focus comes from.
Yeah.
Thinking later in the day, I've got. Do you know what I've started taking from PhD? It's called their Smart Breakfast. It's really, really good. I think it's only been in the market for about 2 months long.
So
I saw it on Smart Breakfast. So it's a protein shake. It's got oats in it. It's got caffeine in it. It's got some amino acids. It's got some multivitamins as well. It works out at £1.50 a shake when you buy it. I don't know.
Not too bad.
And like I said, it's about 200-300 calories. I've started taking that as well as a food breakfast again, just because I am where I'm burning so many calories.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes later in the day, depends on my training volume. If I haven't got enough protein from my diet, I'll have a protein shake, just regular whey protein. And then my biggest preach that everyone should take supplement wise, fish oils.
Just anti-inflammatory.
Just normally before bed. And then the next question people ask is, when's the best time to take supplements? Doesn't really matter unless you're an elite athlete. Just take them at a time that you're not going to forget.
Yes.
That you can just stay consistent with. If you're an elite athlete, then you need to think more carefully about that.
Best to take them with meal, obviously, just to absorb them with some fat in the food.
I
used to be big into supplements myself, and I studied chemistry, pharmacology, so I was always into that type of background, you know, and I studied it a lot. Vitamins were actually on my sort of like a last exam on my high school. And so I always been taking multivitamins and different supplements, but that at some point I did the blood test and I find out all of my vitamins and minerals were at the top and I had too much calcium almost. There was like at a point where there was like whatever that range was, I was like another 20-30% over that range in having too much. So I just told myself, you know what? All of your multivitamins and minerals are at the top. You don't need to take them all the time. You know, just take a break. So, you know, and everybody deals with it as well, different ways. So I'd say maybe smart thing to, you know, for people to do a blood work and check what they lack and just to have a big picture, especially when they're taking fat-soluble vitamins like A, D, E, K, they can overdose. So if you take too much vitamin D, it can have toxic effect on the body. Too much E or A, also very toxic in a high amount. So there you have a hypervitaminosis and hypovitaminosis. Both of them are dangerous. And it's just that middle ground where we just need it. So also iron is not the most recommended for men because they don't have their menstruation period like ladies where they actually lose some blood and some of that iron sort of gets away from the body. A little add-on to that, what we were talking about.
No, I think that's very important. What you said right at the end is the difference between male supplements and female supplements. And it's something like you do need to be careful of, like male or female, just for your own like functionality. But I would love to get like blood work done like that. So I might look into that, especially now you've said all that.
Then you will know where you are, what you need, what you don't need too much of. If you already have too much of something, one dentist told me if you have too much calcium, it creates tar on your teeth. So, but that's not like dangerous thing, but you know, no need to pump too much of supplements, you know. So I take myself every odd day some multi myself, and that's kind of it, really. So is there any new fitness trend that you see coming? Anything new, revolutionary? You know, people get bored, there's need for new trends. Do you see anything going on?
There's probably more going on in the fitness industry right now than there's ever been.
Post-COVID, transforming to...
It's because of that. You know, the fitness industry has just got an electric shock by about 20 years. The fitness industry was very, very anti-technology. And now, like, it's technology on steroids, pardon the pun for the fitness industry there. I think in the biggest thing that needs to happen, and I'm not sure I'll explain this very well, is the biggest thing that needs to happen is everyone involved in the fitness industry needs to know that the customer now has access to much more than they've ever had. And that is our biggest strength. It's not competition. So if I'm a gym owner and I have members in my gym and they're doing online PT with somebody who doesn't belong in my gym, that's a strength. That's not a challenge. That's not something I need to be worried about. I'm happy my member in my gym is doing a program by Otto. I'm happy about that. What I should actually be doing is getting more of my members training with Otto, because my members are going to be getting coached. they're going to be getting better results. Oh, my members are also using MyFit. Yeah, they're also using MyFitnessPal instead of the club's nutrition program. Brilliant, right? How can I get all my members upskilled in MyFitnessPal? They're also using Les Mills On Demand when they're at home. So they're not coming to the gym on a Tuesday and Thursday night because they're doing body pump at home. Brilliant, right? So instead of using that as competition, I'm going to program my members how to do Les Mills On Demand. And you know, there's apps for everything now. Like our gym, the gym I train out of is Techno Gym. Mm-hmm. And they have like the QR code on the machines. And I don't do this, but I see some members, they're scanning these QR codes and it's bringing up the whole program before they do like leg extensions or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
smart.
That's part of this revolution. And that's keeping that member engaged in their training, because all of a sudden they're bringing a little bit of the gym home with them in their pocket.
Yeah.
They're bringing the program home. So I think that's, you know, we're calling it digital. There's some people out there calling it phygital, like the mixture of digital fitness and physical fitness is kind of combining. And a lot of things are becoming a lot more accessible for a lot of people. You know, the existing gym users, they're loving it because there's actually so much for them to do now. And then the people who never would have set foot in the gym, who 6 months ago started doing burpees and Tabata in the living room, are now all of a sudden looking at a gym.
Yeah.
But they're going to the gym and they're doing a workout from their phone. They're doing a YouTube workout. And I just think that is absolutely brilliant. Long may it continue. You know, I do wonder, in a quick analogy for you is, you know, the female in the gym who's walking on the treadmill with her hands up here at a massive incline and they're just hanging on. She's in every gym with a massive incline, yeah, and she's just holding on for dear life. And you know the fella who's doing chest and biceps every single time that he comes in, wrong, by the way, and he doesn't know he has a back to train. Right? I just wonder, because they've all been forced to train at home now and do HIIT workouts and do bodyweight stuff, will their behaviours in the gym change? So will our treadmill lady go and get herself a kettlebell and go to the corner of the gym and do a 10 by 10 circuit? Will the fella go and do a barbell row? Please go and do a barbell row.
My lump went.
Put more money in the meter.
I didn't even know there was a timer on my lump.
Yeah, it's the first time. There's just so much access people have for fitness, and you know the trend is access is only going to increase. And what needs to happen from the likes of us, the professionals in the game, is the collaboration, official collabs and unofficial collabs. Every single PT worth their salt right now is getting their clients to use MyFitnessPal or another nutritional counter. So we're already doing it. It just needs to be bigger.
Yeah. Okay, good point there. Is there anything you want to add to what we were talking about in here, or anything, some good ideas you have, something on your mind that I want to share this with Otto and his listeners and viewers?
Oh, you put me on the spot here. I'll just come back to the one thing mentality. Is you can apply the one thing mentality to absolutely anything, your personal life, professional life, your fitness life, your fitness goals, whatever it might be. And if you're always just thinking, what's the one thing I need to do today, or if I do nothing else, my day is still a success. And more times than not, if you can make that thing something like non-routine. So for example, a really important thing for a lot of people is feeding their kids, picking their kids up from school. That's not your one thing, because you're going to do that anyway. You know what I mean? That's your one thing. Maybe your one thing is on the way to pick your kids up from school, you're going to listen to an audiobook about something educational. Yeah, and it's furthering yourself. So the one thing mentality, it comes from a book. I keep looking to write. We moved all our books, Otto. It's the book is called The One Thing. It's by Gary Keller. It changed my life. 2016, I read it. I'll read it or listen to extracts of it or the author on podcasts as often as I can. Really, really good mentality. One thing. What's the one thing you need to do today? Or if you do nothing else, the day is still a success.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like sometimes putting myself in the positions where I challenge myself. like for example doing these podcasts, but in the past I would do the famous Wicklow Way, and it's also endurance stuff. It was 137 kilometers through the mountains, twice got lost, so we made it a little bit longer than it was, and and so I like the fact that, you know, pushing myself and also have that mental toughness. You know, I had to go to my military training, and, you know, like all the tough stuff we've done, it's making us who we are today. So I'm really happy for having you today and that we share such a great information, and wishing you good luck with your podcast.
Cheers, man. It's been really good to be on, been good to catch up.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ricky, and talk to you soon.
Awesome, mate. Pleasure.
You are listening to the Ricky Long Podcast, where international fitness entrepreneur Ricky Long answers your questions and interviews fitness leaders on training, nutrition, and mindset. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes.